Hi everyone, welcome to Riffing and Ranting. I'm your host Carter, host of That Is Interesting.
I'm Quinn, host of Quinn the Cameraman.
And I'm Brett. I'm just a guy.
Thank you all for joining us today. I've got today's our guest. We've got my friend Juan, one of my friends from college, and he's actually here with me right now. So he's not showing up as a different icon. But yeah, we'll have a talk about what he's been up to and just have a nice wide range of conversation probably. Just a reminder that I'll be going on tour from January through probably around August of next year around the western states of the US for my show The US Explained, and I'll continue to give you guys more information about that as it reaches its later planning stages. But anyway, yeah, let's get started. Thanks for joining us today, Juan.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so why don't you talk a little bit about what you're studying, what you've been up to, sort of in your professional life.
Yeah, so I'm a neuroscience major. Recently, these past few years, I've been doing a lot of like wet lab research at different institutions, also outside of the US too in Europe. And I've also been working in like a clinical setting in a hospital. My main goal is to kind of try to be like a physician scientist. I've been trying to do like some research and like some patient care experiences too.
Really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and you actually just came back from a shift a few hours
ago.
Yeah,
like
right?
2 hours ago. Yeah.
Brutal.
Like overnight shifts. It's honestly kind of fun because it's in the emergency department, it's always open. You always gotta be ready for random things. You never know what kinds of patients you're gonna get or any of that. So it's always a good time.
Yeah, so you're always like,
how long is that shift?
It's 12 hours, but today, since today they're really short staff, so I decided to stay like an extra hour or so.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And how many people did you like treat during that time?
So it depends, because on Monday it was like one of the worst shifts I've had. We usually only have like say maybe max 20 patients that we take care of in the whole department, like at one particular moment in time. But at that time we had like 45. Oh, wow. And we had one other EMT in the department, so it was between me and him where we had to like split it down the middle. So each of us had like 20 or so patients, when it's usually like 5 or 6 patients per EMT.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, and it's also divided up in areas of like more critical patients, less critical patients, and all that. But this last night was a little bit more smooth. We just had just like a few patients in and out. It was more of a typical night, so yeah.
I remember, was it freshman year, sophomore year? You were doing like ambulance ride-alongs too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was, yeah, sophomore year, I believe. Yeah, because I got my EMT license a few years ago, and then I started doing ambulance ride-alongs too, yeah.
Nice. Who was it with, like AMR or something like that?
What do you mean?
Well, like, what company was there? Was it with the fire department?
Oh, it was just with, like, EMS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, EMTs can work either, like, in the ambulance rig, or they can also work as, like, emergency department technicians, which is basically EMTs that help, like, the nurses and doctors with, like, procedures with the patients.
Gotcha, because I have a... the reason why I ask is I have a few friends out here and back home that work for, one works for the fire department, the other one works, and then I have two out here, one works for AMR, the ambulance company, one works for like Infinity Ambulances. I don't know, there's so many companies now here, I can't keep track.
No, there's like a wide range of where like we can work, like we can work on the ambulance or the rig, you can work in the emergency department, you can also work at a few nursing homes too, just taking
care
of the patients. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen I don't know how much you keep up with like first responders and stuff like that, but did you see in the news, I think it was a couple months back, if not a year, like San Diego has a real bad shortage of ambulances and EMTs.
Yeah. No, I saw that. And that's like, unfortunately, not only the case here, but like a lot of places all over the country, like here in Minneapolis, we're like really short too, for example. Like they actually have to get like traveler, like EMTs or even traveler nurses, which basically means they contract people out of state. Like they paid them like maybe sometimes even triple or quadruple of like what the normal staff makes there. And they end up making so much money. But at the same time, they don't have that many people who are willing to do that. And that also kind of like de-incentivizes people who live in that state to want to work for like that particular like ambulance or hospital too.
Yeah, I guess that just goes onto like a bigger scope of how some first responders aren't paid very well. I mean, I don't know how EMTs are paid specifically, but I know some firefighters and especially wildland firefighters are not paid as well as they should be. So.
No, yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. We actually just voted to unionize a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Because like we were getting underpaid. We also had situations where like newer staff, I'm relatively newer staff since I started this year working, but still there's like so many situations where like a very new staff are getting paid a lot more than like staff that has been there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not based off seniority. It's based off of junior.
I guess, which doesn't make sense because, like, the more senior staff is who are the people who make more money. And they also have really high turnover. Like, half of the EMTs that worked there when I started don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Training job.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is, like, you like see a lot of like people in like very critical states. You like see their family members. You see like the looks on their faces. You see like them like they go on cardiac arrest. You have to figure out what you're gonna do to save their life. So it's a very draining job. That's like one end of the spectrum. And the other end of the spectrum is like you have patients who like are very difficult to work with. Like, gotcha. They're either like intoxicated and they're being very rude, or like they don't know where they are. So it's like either they're like very critical and you need to decide how to help them, or they're refusing your help.
Mm. Yeah, so. Well, you want to talk a little bit about some of the like research you've done?
Yeah. So thankfully I've had like the privilege to do research at a few top institutions these past few years. Last summer, I started doing some basic neuroscience research. That was more like just to like introduce me, just to, like some fundamental neuroscience techniques. But my real research interest lies in like disease research, like neurological and neurodegenerative research. So like when I studied abroad this past year in Europe, I actually did ALS research. And for those of you who don't know, that's just basically a progressive motor neuron degeneration disease, which basically means that over time, the neurons that are connected with your muscles, those connections are lost, and that leads to progressive loss of muscle movement. And eventually that leads to paralysis, because then the muscles that are responsible for you breathing stop working anymore. So you basically kind of die of asphyxiation because you can't breathe anymore.
Would that be more like your diaphragm?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so like those muscles aren't responding, and all that. And the purpose of my research was kind of try to find like a potential therapeutic, like saying if we express this certain protein, will that result in like the neurons expressing like better survival? Will that result in better conservation of like motor movement too? And all that. So it was just kind of like a step at a time, and hoping that this will lead to like some sort of like significant clinical result. So that was last year. And then this year, I also do research at my home campus, but that's more just like general neuroscience research. But this past summer I did research that was related to like developing a tool that will like help us understand all neurological diseases in general, because in a lot of neurological diseases, a lot of the connections between neurons are kind of like lost or altered, and we don't really know why sometimes. And if we're able to understand why these connections are kind of lost, that'll give us a better understanding of like how these diseases work, but also like potential biomarkers for like early diagnosis that can lead to like better like outcomes in the long term, since that'll lead us to like starting treatment earlier, or also could lead to like the development of new therapeutics that could help these diseases too. So my research was kind of developing the tool can allow us to like look at this connectivity aspect, which this tool doesn't really exist. So that's really interesting, because it'll not only help us in just one subset of disease, but it will help diseases too.
Yeah. So you're looking at something that's completely new.
Yeah. It's really cool.
So we already know where Carter is going to go after he graduates, but where do you plan to take everything you're doing now post-graduation? You're going to go work for like a research institution, like a U of A or I don't know, UCSF research, or are you going to go work at a laboratory? Where are you thinking of going?
Right now I'm thinking of taking like 2 gap years. Right now I'm applying to research scholarships to do research abroad. So then during that time I can kind of build up my resume, and then be a good candidate for like medical school and graduate school programs when I come back. So my plan would be do research abroad for like 2 years. I could get like a master's or potentially even PhD if I decide to stay even longer, come back and do like medical school or graduate school. And then afterwards it would be like residency, fellowship, attending. So it's like a lot more years of training ahead of me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How long have you been interested in neuroscience for?
I've been interested in it since I was like younger. I have a family member who like suffers from a neurological disorder, which kind of like raised some interest within me to try to better understand these diseases. And also like that's so, like there's like personal investment, but there's also like kind of like an academic interest. Like I'm genuinely curious about like the techniques that we can use to understand the brain, how the brain works, and how like is altered in like a lot of like neurological diseases. So I would say probably like to give a specific age, maybe like in my early teens, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how long have you been playing the bass?
Oh yeah. So I also play the bass in the orchestra. I've been playing that for 9 years. It's actually kind of funny how I started playing it, because like initially I wasn't even going to play bass. I started playing it in 7th grade. Mm-hmm. So that was like what, 2014. So like literally like 9 years ago. So I heard it over the intercom at school and they were like, oh, whoever's interested in doing orchestra, like come see this first. And I'm like, oh shit, that sounds so cool. I'll do that. And I went to go talk to the director. And then when we decided what instrument we're going to play, like I was torn between violin and bass, right? And then the director was like, oh, put an exclamation mark next to the instrument you really want to do. And I just like put it like on bass for some random reason. Like I literally had no idea what I was getting myself. Exactly. The bass is the best. It's the superior instrument. Like it stands out. No, but like what's funny about that is they gave me like a bass to like take home. And so like I was tiny, like I was like what, like 5 foot something, like 5'2". And the bass is like ginormous for those of you who don't know. And then so the school loaned me a bass. And then one day I was coming back after having started orchestra for a few weeks. And I told my dad, oh, today I'm going to bring my bass. And he's like, okay. Like, he didn't know what to expect. He sees me, like, walking outside with the bass. He's like, I saw you struggling so much carrying that. Like, I thought you were, like, being punished or something for some type of school. Like, I didn't think that was your instrument. I thought you just did something wrong. So, yeah, so that's how I started playing. I started taking a few lessons. I started joining like high school orchestras, and then I decided to keep playing here in college too.
Then you've played in some major orchestras, right?
You played
with the MIT Orchestra. Yeah. And didn't you play when you were in Denmark?
Yeah, I played with the MIT Orchestra this past summer. And then I also played with the Denmark Orchestra last year when I was studying abroad. And
so, like, the Danish?
Yeah.
Like,
well, not the main Danish orchestra, but, like, the student. Like the student.
Yeah.
So, like, I got to meet, like, people all over Europe because, like, in Denmark, there's a lot of people that, like, come there from all over the country, not all over Europe and even all over the world. So I got to, like, play with them. I got to, like, talk to them about, like, what they're up to. And it was really cool, like, talking with them. We went to a few bars. It was good, like, just drinking with them and all that, getting to know them. It's not only, like, a good way for making music, but a good way for, like, cross-cultural, cross-cultural intersections too.
Yeah. What was Denmark like? Because Quinn and I were there for just like a day. We weren't there for too long. Do you want to talk a little bit about that experience for you?
Yeah. Honestly, like I never even wanted to study abroad when I got here. Like,
really?
Yeah. It wasn't on my mind. And then I heard like everyone talking about study abroad, and I'm like, oh shit, should I study abroad? So I talked to my advisor, and I was like, the only way I'll study abroad is if it benefits my career somehow. Yeah. Like, I had no personal interest in wanting to study because, like, I didn't see that much of a point in it. And then she's like, oh, Denmark, like, it would be good for your major. You'll get some class requirements out of the way. And I'm like, okay, well, might as well do it. Like, if my scholarship covers it, which it did, thankfully, like, I'll do it. And when I got there, like, I remember being like, oh, shit, this is a whole new country. Like, oh shit, like I'm so far away from everyone.
Yeah.
And like it kind of hit me because I was like, what am I doing here? I remember because they scared us in our program like the first few weeks. They said, oh, we sent someone back home who like did like weed or something, right?
Oh,
because
really?
Because that's banned in Denmark.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the back of my head, I was like, so how bad would that be if I do it? Like, is this my free ticket home? But because I was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I know no one here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the language. Yeah. Like, I just felt like I was, like, stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I had to pull through, like, classes started. I reached out to a lab there, the one where I did ALS research in. I just, like, cold emailed her. I was like, hey, like, I did research at Hopkins this summer before, like, would you let me in your lab? And she was really happy to let me into her lab. And she's actually the one who's helping me right now with my honors thesis too. And I actually went to a conference to Oxford this past year too. So like I maintained a good relationship with her. But like I was really scared of like going there honestly at the start. But over time, like I really started like enjoying like everything about it. Like I enjoyed the safety about it. I enjoyed that in the middle of the night I could just like walk outside and you would see like families biking alongside the street. Like it felt so nice. You could just like walk around, not be worried. I enjoyed the commute to my classes because I lived like 20 to 30 minutes away where my classes were and where my research lab was. And I really liked the public transit system there too. So that was nice. And like I'm trying to think about what else. I just enjoyed everything in general. Like it felt like comfortable. Like over time I started getting into the routine of everything. The thing that did fuck with me was like I remember the first night, like the sun rose at like 4 a.m. and I'm like, why is it up right now? it rose at 4 a.m. and then it set at like 9 p.m.
Yeah, because Europe is so much farther north.
Yeah, exactly. And we have windows. They have a lot more windows and they're like living spaces than we do. So like, I was like, why is the sun shining right now? Like, why is this happening? And then towards the end of the semester, like it started getting dark at like 3 p.m. And then sun started getting up like at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. So like it started like getting adjusted. But no, it was like a really nice time. It felt like the community like knew what they were doing. I really liked the social programs they had there too. I felt like that was nice. They really seemed to care about the people there too. So I would definitely go back there in the future.
I have one question for you regarding Denmark.
Yeah.
Did you go to Legoland?
I did not go to Legoland.
No.
My friend there who we were gonna go to Legoland, the second to last day of the program.
Oh man.
But we didn't end up going because I had to run the last minute experiment in the lab. So we decided not to go. But like,
that's like the best part.
No. I came here.
No, I know. You gotta get the research done. I respect it.
Yeah.
You were there for like 4 months, or?
Yeah, I was there for like 4 months. So from late August to mid-December.
Okay. And did you learn any Danish?
I know no. like everyone in my, like almost everyone in my program was like taking a Danish class. And I was like, why the fuck am I doing a Danish class? Like, I don't need to learn Danish. I'm like, this is a like people speak English here. Like, what? How's Danish gonna help me?
Like, so you had like no issues communicating with everyone? Like, pretty much everyone spoke English.
Yeah, pretty much everyone spoke English. They honestly thought I was Spaniard for some reason. Which, I mean, it makes sense. But like, they would ask me, and they're like, "Oh, you're from Spain, right?" And I'm like, "No, I'm from Mexico and El Salvador." They give me a look like if they'd never heard of those countries before.
That's how everyone looked at me when I was in Argentina. They thought I was Mexican, and I was like, no, I'm like a quarter Salvadorian and Colombian.
Yeah. Wait, I didn't know you were quarter Salvadorian. Do you know where, like, where the Salvadorian came from?
Well, yeah, I know what side of the family it is. The only issue is that I don't know, like, where specifically. I'll need to ask my mom because I actually really don't know. It was my grandpa that was from El Salvador. My mom was Colombian.
Yeah.
Or my grandma was Colombian. Okay. I know my Colombian side way better than my Salvadorian side. But I think my grandpa's side of the family was a bit messier from what my mom's told me. So that's why she doesn't know as much about the Salvadorian side. So, yeah.
Been to either of those countries?
Yeah, I went to Colombia years ago, and I saw all my Colombian relatives out there. It was really fun. Oh boy, do they know how to party. And then I was like, yeah, so I was like in eighth grade or something like that, and I met them all, and we went to Medellin, Cali, Bogota, Manizales, which I don't know how well you know Colombia, but and then, yeah, so that was a lot of fun. But my mom wants to go to El Salvador, but obviously not anytime soon, given the State Department saying don't go. So
yeah, I mean, it's gotten the situation there. It's gotten a little bit better. I mean, I kind of have maybe somewhat of a more biased perspective because my dad's the one who feeds me the political news, and my dad has a very biased political perspective in El Salvador. But at least from my perspective, it seems like the president there is trying to like improve things somewhat. I don't really know that much about him personally, but it seems like there's some effort in trying to like improve at least like the social situation there.
Is this the one that switched everything over to like Bitcoin?
Yeah.
I've heard very mixed things about him. I don't know. My mom isn't the biggest fan, but she's getting everything, all of her information from like the one cousin that we know about.
Out there.
So I can't really speak too much on it.
Yeah. No, I've also heard mixed things too. Yeah.
Wait, so you traveled a good bit when you were in Europe, right?
Yeah,
you run and visited me in Spain.
Yeah.
Where else are you?
Yeah. So my program, they took us to Florence for a week, which was really nice. And then where else did I go? So I went to Spain, and then I also went to the UK. Yeah, I went to the UK to go see a WWE event. Like, I got like front row tickets. Because they had like their first ever like WWE like pay-per-view there, like 30 years in the UK, and I was like, oh, this is perfect, like this is my chance to like go see like a big event. So I went to Cardiff for like a weekend for the event. Then they took us to Florence for a week, where they took us like out to get food, just like doing cultural tours. It was a really nice time. And then we also went to like Western Denmark a little bit too for like a few days, which was also nice. It felt like very rural, like it was like the equivalent of the United States countryside,
okay,
for example. Nice. And then I visited you in Spain too. Yeah.
All right, I have another, I have a few questions here. These are just changing gears a little bit. So how did you meet this wonderful man, Carter? Do you have any funny stories that won't get us into a lawsuit?
I'm trying to think. Trying to think what are good stories to tell, or like legal stories to tell. Well, I'll start
legal.
I'll start off with how I met Carter first. So I met him during one of our FIFA nights, I think, because we had like a mutual friend, and he lived on the same floor as Carter did, and he was like, I think he invited you over when we were all hanging out when we were doing FIFA. I think the first thing I remember of you was losing to him like 16-0 in FIFA. like he scored like 16 goals on you consecutively.
Yeah.
And then,
I was so bad at that.
But I think you also beat me one time in FIFA too, because I didn't know the controllers.
I think you're probably the only person I've ever won a game against.
That's not a proud thing. That's not something I'm proud about. But yeah, that's how I met him. I have a funny story to tell. Yeah, now I remember. So I thought it would be a good idea if we like made a dinner for this professor that like I had that year, right? And so Carter and I were in charge of making the dessert. And our other friends were in charge of the main dishes. So like they had like their chicken, their pesto, and all that shit. And we're like, okay, we'll make some cheesecake. So we decided to like get the ingredients for the cheesecake. We start realizing we don't have any cooking utensils. Like, we don't have a whisk, we don't have anything to mix it or anything. So the cheesecake is not supposed to be lumpy, it's supposed to be smooth. But this cheesecake was so lumpy, like, the batter was lumpy. And we were like, oh, maybe in the oven it'll settle. Like, maybe once it, like, bakes thoroughly, it'll actually, like, pan out. That did not happen. Like, you could still see the lumps on the cheesecake.
It looked like cottage cheese. Yeah. Well, I think because we whisked it. Did we whisk it with a plastic fork?
Yeah, we used a plastic fork.
Oh.
We didn't buy sugar. Went to the dining hall.
Yeah.
And we took a
bunch of sugar packets
for coffee. We took, like, hundreds of sugar
packets. Yeah, we used the wrong sugar packets, too, I think.
The guy who The guy who was working at the desk got like mad at us. We're like, we're making a cheesecake, so he made us bring him a slice after, which was probably not a good decision.
Yeah, I don't think that was a good decision on his part. But essentially what happened was, so we showed it to our friends when it's time for the dinner, right, with our professor, and they're like, this is the worst cheesecake like I've ever seen. Like, what how did you guys fuck this up? And we're like, no, it'll be okay. And so then the professor comes over. We're like, oh, like, we made you a dinner. We also made you this cheesecake. And then the friends give her a warning. Oh, like, maybe I wouldn't try the cheesecake. Like, it might be a little bad. She's like, oh, no, I'm sure it'll be fine. Like, I could take some home to my daughter. Like, I'm sure we'll both love it.
And we put, like, a raspberry glaze on top of it. Yeah. So you couldn't see.
Yeah, you can see any of the lumps. So, like, she has, like, no visual bias or anything. So we give a slice to the professor. And we're like, hey, what do you think? She's like, it's fine. Like, yeah, it's fine. And then we're like, oh, how much do you want to take home to your daughter? And she's like, you know, like, actually, like, we have like a lot of desserts back home that we need to finish eating. Like, I think we're on the cheesecake right now. But like, thank you.
Okay, so no.
I think it tasted really good.
And honestly, like, the flavor was fine. It was just the consistency.
Okay.
Okay, so Carter, what did we learn today? Bake it. You owning a bakery might not be the greatest thing, at least right now.
No, that is interesting, bakery.
That is interesting.
Got to improve on the craft.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. If you guys have any questions for any of us, feel free to send them in the chat as well.
Are you on a meal plan, Juan, or do you cook?
That's a good question.
He cooks microwave meals.
So like, I think
is it like
yeah, not to be on the meal plan because like it's cafe. It's like the cafe food. Like
yeah,
it's horrible food.
Yeah, so you could still like, enjoy the dining hall food without necessarily being on the meal plan, right?
No, I don't even go to the dining hall. Like that's the trick. Like I don't go to the dining hall. I get like I stock up on a lot of frozen meals, like frozen lasagna, frozen ravioli, frozen spaghetti, my personal favorite, frozen meatloaf and mashed potatoes. And so like this one, like last semester, like I'm so hungry, so I make myself a salad. I make a pizza in the oven, and then I could also microwave this meal too. And I send a picture to like all of us in the house, and I get so many messages from people that are saying like they're very concerned as to what I'm eating because the meatloaf looked like a literal piece of shit, not like
wow.
Brown or something. And they're like, Juan, what are you eating? Like, what the fuck is this? Like, so, like, to answer your question, no, I don't cook. Like, I actually tried cooking in a cook-off with this girl to get a date. I feel like I did a good job in the cook-off. Like, I did, like, sure, there may have been some questionable, like, methods as to how I won. But I cooked rice. And I feel like I did a good job cooking the rice. One of our friends comes to like judge. She's the first one to get there. She takes a spoonful of the rice and she's like, Juan, why is this like so hard? Like, did you not cook this rice? And I'm like, what do you mean? I put the rice in oil and then it was completely for like 30 minutes.
Oh no.
It should be completely fine. And then everyone else coming and she starts telling everyone else, she's like, I would not try the rice, like this is the worst rice.
No, like I walked in the door and she came up to me like whispered in my ear, she's like, the rice is not edible and I don't think it's safe to eat.
Oh yeah, because then I started cooking chicken too, and I think someone else he said, Juan, why do I see like literal pink spots in this chicken, like nearly cooked.
Like, chicken is the one meat that really needs to be cooked.
Like, it was salmonella surprise. Like, I don't know what they were talking about. Like, that was the point of the dish. But then I also made a dessert. The dessert was actually pretty decent, I think.
Everyone was complimenting you on the dessert because it'd be relative to everything. You could finish the cookies for sure.
Yeah, you could finish the cookies I made. Yeah. But at the end of the day, my inedible rice and like salmonella surprise dish, the other girl's like actual cooking.
Because we had rigged the dessert.
Yeah, because I told them, hey, rig it so like no matter how my cooking is, like vote that I won.
And yeah, they smart.
Ended up getting a free dinner date out of that.
Nice. I also heard you got a $500 coffee machine. Do you wanna talk about that?
Listen, don't judge the man, all right? I understand it. Us Hispanics, we love our coffee.
Exactly. Like people know the value of coffee. If you like work a lot, you know what value coffee holds. So I drink a lot of coffee since I work night shifts, and I also like have a lot of stuff going on. So like I usually get like a large venti Starbucks drink, and then I go to my shift. And the thing is, like with each time I do this, like I do this almost every day, I spend like $7, right?
Yeah, Starbucks.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? What if I get a coffee machine? Like that'll balance it out. Like I made a deal with two of my friends, and they were like, "Okay, if you get the coffee machine, we'll buy the ingredients for the coffee machine."
Oh, okay.
And I was like, "Oh, this is perfect. Let's buy a $500 coffee machine." So we went to the mall. We went to like an espresso outlet, and we were like, "Oh, like we were in coffee." And he's like, "Oh, I have this $500 coffee machine." We're like, "Okay, let's get that." So we get here, the coffee I feel like was pretty good. Like it's an espresso, it's like high quality and all that. But then we quickly run out of coffee pods, and then we start realizing these coffee pods are expensive. Like this is not sustainable.
Oh, no.
have to drive like 20 to 30 minutes to get those specific pods. And each of those pods are like $1 to $2 per pod.
How often do you need them?
Well, like, we each drink a lot of coffee. Like, I drink coffee. I would, like, use at least 2 to 3 pods a day. And my other friend, kind of similar, too. So we would need a lot of coffee. And so, much to my dismay, I had to return a coffee machine. When was it? Thursday. Yeah, I had to return it on Thursday. We got a different coffee machine from Target for, like, $160. It's whatever.
It's found money there.
it's a coffee machine. I don't care anymore. I'm kind of heartbroken, honestly.
So how good was the coffee, though?
I feel like the coffee was pretty good. Others will say that it wasn't that good, but like I think they're a little biased. But but honestly, like maybe this was a better investment: the $160 coffee machine versus the $500 coffee machine, and also the coffee pot. This one are pretty cheap too. So.
Yeah. How was the pair between the two?
How does the coffee? We haven't gotten the other coffee pods for this one yet. Because we got the coffee machine on Thursday and we ordered a bulk amount to arrive today. So I'm literally waiting for these to arrive because like I need my coffee.
Yeah. So
you don't want to go to Starbucks?
I'll probably go to Starbucks honestly after this. Like it's right next door. Like I will get a drink and like
no, don't go to the dark side.
$7 coffee.
Dude, it's not even coffee, it's just sugar with coffee.
Hey, it has caffeine.
Barely.
Or a Celsius.
On at Target you can buy like a gallon jug of Starbucks coffee for like $6.
But that's not the same.
That's not the same at all.
$6 versus $7.
Yeah, $6 versus $7. First off, the price is different. It's not the amount of care that the Starbucks people put into it.
And it's overpriced and all these different things. Anyway. It's
actually, like, I get stars for it, too. Like, if I buy a jug from Target, who's going to give me stars for, like, buying a gallon of coffee?
Asking the tough question.
Yeah, my mom refuses to drink Starbucks, and I will get, I will be, metaphorically speaking, I will be disowned if I drink Starbucks. So I can't.
Wait. So what do you drink?
I rarely drink Starbucks, and in a pinch, I'll drink like one of those espresso things. I make my own. I really like. My friend really got me into the Black Rifle Coffee Company stuff. That stuff's really good. And then we get my uncle down in Colombia is a coffee. He worked on a coffee plantation for a while before he passed away. But we got Juan Valdez coffee from him a lot, so we got straight from the source.
Oh, that must have been really good coffee.
Yeah, so like my standard for coffee is ridiculously high because of that.
Like Starbucks level coffee?
Starbucks is gross.
Like I got McDonald's iced coffee yesterday.
How was that?
It's not the same as
McDonald's
Starbucks.
McDonald's coffee's not great.
Well, yeah.
It is not that good.
You can mix coffee with a lot of different things to make it better.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You know, like caramel and everything?
Yeah, I like putting a lot of vanilla syrup in it.
Mm. Yeah. I haven't had a good cup of coffee in a while. I've been really busy and stressed.
Come to Minnesota and I'll get the $500 coffee machine back.
Just buy it back. Buy it every time you want coffee and then return it.
And then return it.
Yeah, it's like
just have it for like a week. Get it to like.
That's what we call profits.
You know, they'll ban me from the store. No, I told.
Is it Target?
What?
Did you get your coffee from Target?
No, we're ordering it off Amazon.
Oh, well, you'll get banned. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you'll get banned off Amazon or... Yeah. No, say it's broken. Send them a picture and say it's broken, then you get a one for free.
That's what I should have said.
Yeah, then they'll and then I think they refund you too. Or like they refund you half. So, I mean, you know, it's not a total loss. Then you get two machines and you can resell the other one.
You know, that's smart. I should have told that to the Nespresso lady because she literally asked me, is this broken? And I was like, no.
Oh, you missed your chance. No.
That was my one shot.
Yeah. That would have been like the perfect chance to do that.
Yeah. You guys would have lost it if I would have come back with two coffee machines. Like, guys, oh, like I returned the other one and I got a new one and I told them, oh, it cost $600 instead of $500. And they like actually believed me for a second.
So when you were in Copenhagen, were you doing the same microwave meal thing or what do you eat there?
Yeah, I used the microwave meal thing. They had Danish microwave meals.
Oh, wow.
Maybe you want some McDonald's thing?
The McDonald's was actually pretty nice.
Honestly, foreign McDonald's, you gotta stop in every now
and
then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get a little bit of McDonald's there. I tried to think what else. The iced coffees over there were like $10 each.
Really?
Jeez.
Okay, I had some real good coffee at a place there.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was called like something Joe, I feel like. They had a lot of locations.
Joe and the Juice?
Yeah, they had a bunch of those.
Yeah. They have that's really popular over there. But yeah, I used the microwave meals. I did salads too. Just like the essentials, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know where we should take these two? We should do a Latin America trip with them.
That would be fun.
Got to take him back to the homeland.
To the motherland.
Exactly. Yeah, take him there.
Yeah.
Go show him how to really party.
Exactly. I have a close friend who's from Peru. And he owns like a huge plot of land there.
Really?
He was my roommate this past summer, and he owns like a lot of alpacas.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he live near? Where does he live in Peru? Do you know?
He told me, I forgot. But in the suburbs of like Lima.
Mm.
Yeah.
We went when I was in Argentina. We saw a bunch of ancient Incan ruins in the Andes, since apparently they were out there, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah. Did you guys see the thing about the alien?
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wait, what was that?
Just look it up.
They like the Mexican government in like one of their meetings of like Congress heard testimony about these like supposed alien corpses and like actually brought them in. They like found them in like, I don't know, like a cave or something.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they like brought the mummies in.
The pictures are kind of crazy.
I mean, no one really knows, right?
Yeah.
But they look like they look very like humanoid, but they have really like long faces. They almost look
they got a big neck.
Yeah. Yeah. What I find interesting is like there's a lot of like skepticism too. And I mean with like right reason, because like what's to say like someone didn't just like make this up. Get like a little bit like of publicity and like their moment of fame.
It's like Bigfoot too.
Exactly. Right.
Which is real, by the way.
Yeah, Bigfoot. See? That's what I told you, Carter. Bigfoot is real.
Dude, I was in Shasta a few years ago. Dude, me and my buddy saw Squatch. 100%. Yeah, my other friend who, these two know, he swears he saw one too. I wasn't with him, but yeah. So there's some squatching going on, you guys.
Oh, we gotta go, did you guys ever watch the show Finding Bigfoot? It was on Discovery.
Yeah, my dad made fun of me for watching it when I was younger. I was like 8. I just didn't know what good programming was.
Like, that's how I learned how to communicate with Sasquatches. Like, you just get, like, a piece of wood or, like, a baseball bat and just bang it against the tree. And that's, like, they'll probably, like, bang back or something.
Dude, someone had a cabin, like, way out in the mountains, and someone left a, like, note in our mailbox talking about a Bigfoot sighting, and they were filming a documentary about Bigfoot and wanted to, like, interview people in the area who've had sightings. Yeah. So they're like, if you've had a Bigfoot sighting, like, let us know. So we kind of were like, oh, we should, like, say that we saw Bigfoot. So we get on this,
just, like, make up shit up.
I wonder if that was the show, because they did a lot of that. Like, almost every other day they would do some sort of, yeah, they would do something like that.
You could have been on a card.
Crazy. Wait, so you're from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. What it's like.
Yeah, yeah. So
tornadoes aplenty.
Yeah, tornado capital of the world, like, literally. Yeah, I grew up there, then until I came here for college. But there, it's honestly, like, gotten a little bit better over these past few years. Let me think what I'm trying to say. Yeah, so, like, the main thing, there's honestly not that much to do in the actual, like, state or city. I'm from Oklahoma City. So there's really not that much to do unless you want to go, like, to the park. That's it. Or, like, just do, like, not too interesting stuff with your friends.
If you want to train with the FAA, because doesn't, like, the FAA's, like, training center out there too?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, we have, like, what, Tinker Air Force Base there. We also have, like, the National Weather Headquarters in Norman, cool, too, which is pretty cool. Yeah, we're just known mainly for our tornadoes. Like, they could honestly, like, always pop up out of nowhere. Like, I always remember being scared of them as a kid because you're, like, you never know when they're going to pop up. Like, it could be, like, a sunny day, and then the next thing you know, you have those popping up.
A supercell that comes in, and then, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I think these past few, like, more recently, we haven't had that much. It's honestly been more like winter weather. Like, I remember the sophomore year that I was here, my parents told me that there was, like, this huge ice storm that left them without, like, power for, like, a few weeks. It was the same one
in Texas.
Yeah, it was the same one in Texas. Like, it crippled both of them. And, like, it's nothing they've ever, like, had before either. So, like, it's definitely been more like winter weather instead of, like, severe tornado weather, which is what Oklahoma is typically known for. I would say, like, Oklahoma City's, like, shockingly also a little bit diverse too, because there's, like, a large Hispanic population. There's also, like, a large Asian population, like, specifically Vietnamese people. And I have, like, a lot of Vietnamese high school friends too, and they're, like, all scattered around. So, like, OKC is, like, probably the most diverse point in the state, and then you go out and the rest, and then it's just, like,
there's a lot of Native
Americans. So, yeah, yeah. It's honestly, like, a peaceful place. Like, if you want to go retire there, go retire in Oklahoma, like, honestly.
And it's cheaper.
Yeah, and it's a lot cheaper. Yeah.
No, I remember, like, we were in Oklahoma City for, I mean, just a day. So I don't know how much we would have had to do if we were there for, like, a few weeks or anything. But we enjoyed it, honestly.
Yeah.
It was nice to walk around and see the city for a bit.
Yeah.
I remember we all, like, enjoyed it a lot more than we expected it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because haven't they, like, done a lot of sort of downtown revitalization in, like, the past few decades and things like that?
They've been trying to make it more into a tourist spot. Like, we didn't have the Devon Tower, like, the big glass building.
Went out
like in the early 2010s. We didn't have that one. That was new. We didn't have, like, the new highways. That was also new too.
Yeah.
We didn't have Scissor Toe Park, which is the big park now, until, like, a few years ago.
Yeah.
We didn't have, like, a whole lot of the newer stuff until, like, more recently in the past, like, decade or so. They're trying to, like, attract more people to come to the state through that too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's really working or not, but at least for the people who live there, it's looking like a nicer city.
Makes it a nice place to live. And had you been to Minnesota before you moved up here?
No, this was my first time.
Yeah.
This is my first.
Rainy and cold and a thousand lakes.
Yep.
Did you get to tour any schools before you actually went? Or were you kind of, did you kind of just go?
Well, since like I applied through a scholarship program that made it like legally binding, if you get accepted, that you
have to, yeah.
And I honestly didn't care where I would get accepted either. I was just like, I want to go out of state. I want to go to like a decent college too. Like, I feel like coming here, I'll get like really good opportunities too. And I feel a little bit scammed, honestly, because they really advertise like the neuroscience major and the internships here. But then I get here, there's not actually like an actual neuroscience department here.
Really?
It's like a combination of the and psychology department.
Oh.
So like,
so you just started taking classes within other departments
between those two departments, which yeah. And I like, I got here and I'm like, what is this? And there's also not that many, when I got here too, there's not that many professors who do like actual neuroscience research until this past year.
So you're mostly doing them at other universities.
Yeah, that's why I was doing them at other universities too. And it's, I mean, at the same time, it's good to have experience from other universities, but like, I feel like it was false advertising. Yeah. Yeah.
Where all have you traveled within the U.S.?
The states? U.S. I've been to Los Angeles as part of the high school orchestra. We played there.
Okay.
Sophomore year of high school. I've been in New York to visit one of our friends too. I've been in Baltimore, I've been in Boston, I've been, where else, other parts of Maryland, because I used to have family that lived there too.
Oh, really?
I've been to Arkansas multiple times, and it's right next door to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I've been to Las Vegas, and I've also been to Dallas a lot too, since it's like only a 3-hour drive from OKC. Like, it's a day's trip, and like, you can go to like the flea market, you can go try some really good Mexican food there too. So
Like the bigger cities.
Yeah, like the bigger cities. Yeah, I would say, yeah, those have been like the main places I've been to recently. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Chicago.
Oh, and Chicago. How could I forget about that?
Yeah, we went to us and then another one of our friends went and visited Quinn in Chicago.
Yeah.
Spring break, which was fun.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, guys. Really appreciate it.
We'll run it back soon.
No, it's fine. You guys have your fun.
Oh, we should tell them about the... Should we tell them? I feel like that's a funny story.
His car broke down on the highway.
We were driving. Yeah.
Because like the way there, it was already having some trouble, but the way back,
the way there, it was driving perfectly.
It was making some sounds. It was making some sounds. And like we like we're going on the highway, and we had Quinn in the car this time because he was coming back with us. And it was starting to like slow down and things like that. Or like we pulled over, we tried to like drive around a bit. He's like, okay, I think it's good. So we get back on the highway. He's like, I think if I go really fast,
I was driving 90 miles per hour.
Yeah,
he's
driving 90. He's like, Juan, maybe you should slow down a little bit. Like, this is a little much for this car, I think. And then he started to slow down. I was like, okay, yeah, like, thanks, man. But then he kept slowing down. 20. It turns out he wasn't trying to slow down.
The car was slowing down for me.
Yeah, so he started going.
We're driving on the shoulder, right?
Yeah. So he managed to cross, like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 lanes of traffic somehow. And, like, we drove on the shoulder of the road, like, sort of in, like, the bike lane.
Yeah.
Eventually, like, got into some, like, business car.
Yeah.
Realized we didn't go big.
Yeah.
And this was out in the suburbs. So Quinn and I we had like a Amtrak, like awards, so we could have a free trip. So we took an Uber back into the city and then took the train back from Union Station. And we like one of our friends the other friend who was there with us drove back with Juan.
Yeah, they abandoned
like,
us.
He was like, when I said goodbye to you, I fully thought I was never going to see you guys again. But we all managed to make it back.
We somehow made it back. Like, when my friend and I got back here, like, we had, like, we were traumatized. Like, we were like, how the fuck did we just survive that?
Also, because the car had been, we'd had it parked in the city, and it had been really cold when we were there.
I mean, I was surprised it didn't get stolen.
Well, we were checking on it, like, every day, and then we realized it was going to be stolen, like, the next
taste. Yeah.
That was an experience.
That was an interesting experience. Yeah.
Oh, it was fun, though.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you knuckleheads.
Wait, I'm gonna run to the restroom.
Yeah.
So a car was destroyed. Who turned into the pit crew?
Juan was consulting with his dad on the phone, I think, here and there. We're testing different theories. We were sort of like, we were in this business park out in the suburbs, and we're in this parking lot that was like empty. So he would like, we'd get out of the car and he'd like drive it around and like test how it would do if he like took all our like luggage out or took all three of us out. And
we were all just like standing in this parking lot. It was like freezing cold and like super windy and stuff.
Yeah,
we're just driving in circles around this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was quite a drive back. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm back.
Oh.
Welcome.
Schaumburg, Illinois.
Yeah, you guys abandoned us. You and Quinn abandoned us.
We did. Yeah. I don't think we would have made it home.
You guys left us for the wolves.
How long did that drive back take?
Like 7 hours when it should have been six.
No, you guys were like, oh, it's going so smoothly. Like, you guys should have come back with us. Like, there are no problems. And you're like, our car broke down 7 times.
Yeah, like at least 7 times. No, I drove that car back before when the summer ended because I told my dad, I fucking hate this car. Like, why did you give this car to me? You scammed me. So, like, I told him, I'm not driving this car all the way back. Like, you're going to have to meet me somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't think I'm going to make it back to OKC since it's like a 12-hour drive.
Yeah.
So he met me in Kansas City, which is like basically midway between here at OKC, and I told him, okay, I'm gonna drive your car, you get to drive my car, so then you get to see what I've been through this entire and he somehow made it back to OKC, and then he was like, you know what, yeah, you're right, and we ended up selling the car to his junkyard.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't want to deal with that car anymore. Like, it's like I spent like at least a $1,000.
Oh yeah.
Like, I took it to some mechanic here, like the first like week or so of classes. They fully did not do anything to the car.
Really?
Yeah, they did not do anything to the car. So.
And they charged the hell out of you for it too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they were taking so long to fix it too.
Yeah.
Well, like, fix it.
Right. I feel like that's the thing with like, if you get like a car for real cheap, it's like, oh, it might come with a whole lot of other expenses later.
No, I mean, like, we've had it for like a while.
Right, so it's had good.
Like, yeah, so like I thought, and like, it honestly came in good condition. I think it was just like
just really old.
Yeah, I think it was just like dying down too, and like we didn't know. It was a Jaguar, and those parts are expensive too.
Mm.
Like, you don't want to like be spending like thousands of dollars on something that could break down
right
at any moment.
Yeah. How many miles did it have?
What?
How many miles did it have?
Like 100K. Okay. Yeah, so. And like the battery was good, all of the other parts was good, so I don't know what the fuck was wrong with it. Yeah.
Hmm. British workmanship not looking too good.
But you normally drive up to campus, right?
Where
does that go through? Like Iowa? And...
So it goes through Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, and then here.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I have to drive up here since, like, I go to work.
Right, so you want to have a car.
Yeah, that's why I need to buy it. Yeah.
What the fuck? Why is my computer black screening? Oh my goodness. Okay, it's back. Sorry, I think my computer just like almost killed itself. I don't know.
Maybe it needs coffee.
Yeah, the coffee machine still hasn't gone off yet. I went out and checked. I don't know. They said they put it on overnight, and I don't think they did. I think they forgot to press the button, so maybe no coffee for me.
That sucks.
Which sucks. I have to go to work in like 20 minutes.
Damn.
I need my mug full.
Starbucks.
No.
Starbucks, no. Or come over here, get on a flight, and I'll go get the $500 coffee machine.
I will happily split that with you. I mean, if you're offering.
the offer stands.
Perfect.
Okay. You guys want to wrap up? And then,
yeah, sure.
We have Alan on for next week, or is he the week after?
I don't. Let me check the calendar real quick. He's the week after.
Okay.
Like the 30th.
Nice.
So do we get Blake on next week?
Yeah, I'll harass him. I'll do my usual of, I don't know. Quinn knows what I'll do.
I don't, but
we can ask him about it next week.
In order to avoid prosecution, I cannot say, but Quinn, I will text you what I'm going to do.
Okay, well, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for coming home. See you guys.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, nice having you. Nice meeting you, man.
Nice meeting you.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.